Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm very excited about our guest today, and I know you are going to be as well. I have Chandler Bolt with me, and Chandler is an investor, the CEO of Self-Publishing School and selfpublishing.com, Forbes 30 Under 30, and the author of 7 best-selling books, including his most recent book titled Published. Self-Publishing School is an Inc. 5000 company the last 3 years in a row as one of the 5,000 fastest growing private companies in the U.S. Chandler is also the host of the 7-Figure Principles podcast and the Self-Publishing School podcast. Through his books, podcasts, YouTube channels, and Self-Publishing School, he has helped thousands of people write a book that grows their income, impact, and business. It is my pleasure to welcome Chandler to our show today.
Belinda, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is a subject that it is sort of inside of everybody. Do you know what I mean? Everybody has it inside of them that they kind of would like to do a book, but they don't even know where to begin. And even when you do know where to begin, like somebody like myself, it is become very difficult to navigate the best way to go about doing it. So I'm very excited to have you here.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Why don't we just start out and get to know you a little bit better? Fill us in some of the gaps on this bio and tell us about Chandler and how you got on this journey. How did you become exactly what you are today?
Yeah. So I'm a C-level English student and a college dropout with ADHD that ended up writing books and publishing books and helping other people do the same. And so I feel like discovered a love for books really as part of dropping out of school. And I dropped out of school because I was tired of learning how to run a business from professors who have never ran businesses. That didn't make too much sense to me. So I dropped out, but I realized I need to operate like I'm still in school, just change the way that I'm learning. And so that's when I started to fall in love with books and reading books and then ultimately publishing books and just kind of realizing that books change lives. They change the lives of readers. They change the lives of authors. We always say it's not about the book. It's about who you become in the process of writing and publishing that book. So I kind of fell in love with that as a reader and then as an author too. And books have changed my life. And now we're on a mission to help 100,000 authors change a bunch more lives through publishing a book.
That is fantastic. So then how long have you had your company now?
Yeah, so we launched in February of 2015, and we've published about 6,000 books since then.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is. I'm just writing that down because that is fantastic. All right, so let's dive in. Let's talk about, for our listeners that are interested in this topic, what would be your 3 biggest tips for writing a book?
Yeah, so I think when it comes down to writing a book, I think it's one of those things that It's simple. It's not easy, but it can be simple, right? And so I like to, I feel like that's maybe a gift of mine is that, you know, they say it's like the worst students are often the best teachers because they know what it's like to struggle at something. And so I feel like that's kind of my sweet spot is making something complicated like publishing a book simple. So really there's 8 milestones is what we call it. I kind of break these down in my new book. So there's 8 milestones to go from blank page to published. And so the first 4, and this would be the first tip, would be, this is what I call the MORE writing method. Okay. So the MORE writing method, that's an acronym, M-O-R-E, and that stands for mind map, outline, rough draft, editing, right? And so the first tip that I would say is if you're listening to this, you're in one of 3 buckets. Either you have an idea, you're not quite sure what you want to write about, or you've got too many ideas. And so my encouragement would be to narrow down to 1 idea and create a mind map. So take 15 minutes as soon as you're done listening to this podcast. Set a timer for 15 minutes and write out everything that you can think of on this topic. So stories that you have, lessons that you've learned, books that you've read, et cetera, and use that to create your mind map. And so I'll kind of go maybe three tips in one here, and then we can circle back. But is this more writing method? So mind map, then you're going to use that. The O is outline. So you're going to turn your mind map into an outline, and then you're going to use that outline to write your rough draft. So that would be kind of, I guess, maybe three tips in one. And I mean, I've got a lot more to say on all this stuff. But that, just to like really simplify it and make it tangible for folks, would be to use the more writing method, mind map, outline, rough draft, and editing to get started with your book.
Okay, I love that. Very simple. I think when people can have something like that, a system to follow in their mind even, it's just helpful for them. So great. Yeah. So we've got that's for writing. And then let's talk a little bit about publishing.
Yeah. So the publishing piece, so there's the biggest hurdle for most authors is getting a rough draft done. So until you've got a rough draft done, nothing else matters. And I really encourage authors, it's only focus on that at first. So use the more writing method, focus on getting your rough draft done. But then once you've got your rough draft done, there can be what kind of feels like this major gap between, okay, I've got the rough draft done. Now, how do I actually publish this thing? And how do I go from rough draft to publishable manuscript and to a book that I can publish? So that's where you start to go into the first thing is self-editing. Then there's hiring a professional editor. Then you move into book cover design and then formatting. So getting the book ready to publish. And so those are kind of the milestones. And as with all of these milestones, I always like to focus people on, hey, how do you take your very next step? Right. So if you finish your rough draft, well, let's move to self-editing. Right. If you self-edited, all right, okay, now how do we hire an editor and get your book edited? And so keep moving kind of step by step. And that's how you get your book ready to publish. And then ultimately move into the final phase, which is launching your book, using the book to grow your business, selling more books, kind of all that stuff.
Which is the promotion piece.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So then are you an advocate in this teaching this school? So what are you an advocate of? Getting a publisher, self-publishing, or having some type of hybrid model?
Yeah, great question. And yeah, those are exactly the three options, right? And so yep. I think, you know, it depends on the person and their goals and what kind of what they're bringing to the table when they're ready to publish this book. I'd say for 99.9% of authors, it makes more sense to self-publish. The only time it makes sense to traditionally publish is if you have a big audience. And that means that you can get an advance, like a big advance on the book. That's the only time it makes sense to traditionally publish. Otherwise, you're probably going to be better off self-publishing your book. Now, sometimes it makes sense to do hybrid. Sometimes that can be expensive. You know, you might end up paying $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to publish the book, depending on who you go with. So that can be expensive. But that's why I recommend for most authors, self-publishing is the way to go. It's a little bit more work, or at least it can be. But you retain ownership of the rights of your book, of your IP. You make more money on royalties. You can move through the process faster. There's just a lot of benefits to it.
Absolutely. Now, there's sort of a fourth one out there now. And because trust me, if I'd done so much research. and that is not necessarily a hybrid where you're paying 30, because that is a very average amount of money right there. $25,000, $30,000 is very, a very average standard amount that you hear. Mm-hmm. But there are people that for $5,000 or $7,500 mm-hmm. will help you with the cover design, will help you with the professional editing, which you said, you know, you need to hire an editor.
Yep.
They help you with sort of the logistics of how do you get it here? Or, you know, and I do think, in my opinion, at least from, and that's where I am. So everybody's at a different place, just like you said. I just think that is probably one of the better ways to go, because sometimes the ones at 30, sometimes what you're paying for is not the ROI. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And that's a lot of, this is kind of brand new that we started rolling out, but we now sit kind of in that middle ground. So somewhere between 6 to 12 is kind of the ballpark of, we charge when we're helping people, but we now, I mean, we've never done this until the last couple of months because people, exactly what you said, people kept asking about it. And so now we do cover design, we do formatting, we upload to Amazon, we get people an ISBN, like all those things. Mm-hmm. We don't do editing yet, That can just be kind of a can of worms that is just wildly varies based on what people need.
Okay.
But that's why we structure that. But we don't take royalties, right? So some hybrid companies won't take royalties. Most will. But that's why we structured it that way, is so that we're not taking royalties, so that the author makes the lion's share of the royalties
right.
for your books.
Right. I love that. All right. So let's talk now about, what do you think is two of your greatest skill sets? We'll call them your superpowers, that have really helped you in this entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, I would say the first is kind of the, I think it's the ADHD and C-level English student kind of superpower, which is making complicated things simple. I feel like that's a gift of, it's one of those weird things where it's a gift that you don't realize it's a gift until finally one day you do. Because people just kept saying, like, hey, yeah, you're really good at like making this process simple. I felt overwhelming before I started going through kind of your book or your curriculum or that sort of thing. So I'd say that's probably the first one. And then the second one is just discipline and work ethic. I know that's maybe two, but kind of I see those as pretty closely related, is just the discipline to stay focused. And you know, focus stands for follow one course until successful, right? And so that's what I've done with self-publishing school. And that's what we've done with books and a lot of things, is just we've stayed laser focused, and I've stayed laser focused, and then been very disciplined and kept working hard. And I think that's why we've been able to differentiate in a space that's pretty competitive. But I think those have been kind of some big differentiators.
Very good. I'm really curious, because I think discipline and work ethic, I think they go hand in hand for sure. Yeah. I think that is definitely, absolutely, you can put those into one bucket. So what are some things, because most people that I know that are self-employed and self-disciplined, they've got some tricks, you know what I mean? It's almost like self-gains that they do to, either they've got a strong routine, or they've got little games they play with themselves, or they do things that help them create that discipline. Do you mind sharing a couple of yours, since you shared that was your superpower?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, I mean, I think first off, it's making, there's a mindset, and then there's practical things that I do, right? So I think the mindset first off is you've got to learn to commit to yourself. And as you know, the four agreements would say is be impeccable with your word. And I'm a huge believer that we need to keep commitments to ourselves. Right. And because so there's a lot of times in life, you know, whether we're trying to lose weight, trying to write a book, whatever. Okay, let's have some external accountability. I love external accountability. I think everyone should do it. I think it's really, really powerful. But I think ultimately the measure of success with discipline is that you don't need it, because you keep commitments that you make with yourself. Because I think there's a really powerful subconscious thing that if your mind says, oh, you said you were going to do this thing and you didn't do it, well, then your subconscious starts to say, oh, Chandler isn't trustworthy, right? He's making commitments to himself and then he's not keeping them. But then the opposite is also true, which is if you say, oh, I commit to a thing, and that's where I've always prided myself on, is if I say I'm going to do something, you can take it to the bank. Like, it's going to happen. And the hardest part is making the decision to do it, because I know as soon as I say yes to doing that thing, I'm going to do it. And so I feel like there's building that, becoming impeccable with your word to yourself is the mindset that then makes everything else easier or unnecessary. But then, to more specifically answer your question, I think there's two or three things that I do. First and foremost is my morning routine. That is huge. I do it 5 days a week. You know, that's a staple of the workday, and I follow the Miracle Morning. It's a book by a buddy of mine named Hal Elrod. So my Miracle Morning and morning routine, that's a big piece. I take a nap every single day. That's something that really helps me feel like I have 2 days in one, and I'm rejuvenated in the afternoon. I just took a nap before this interview. and so that's really, really powerful. And then third one is just, planning my day ahead of time, and doing a recap. So it's, you know, just, I'm really big on goal setting. So what's my top three for the quarter, for the month, for the week, for the day? And then just making sure I'm clear on that when I wake up, and then planning the next day, at the end of my day, just to kind of keep focused on what's most important.
Your answer was awesome.
Thank you.
I can ask people like, so give me some tips or give me some specifics. And they kind of skirt all the way around it. And, you just nailed it. Like,
I like your answers to direct questions.
I know. I love it. All right. Well, that was fantastic. And I do think that it is a strong, I've always been a skill set teacher. You know, here's ABC, do one, yeah. two, three, focus, commitment, consistency, you know, mm-hmm. all those skill sets. And I did not really, I mean, I knew, you know, you got to have a healthy mindset. Like I knew that. I just didn't understand because it comes natural for me, I think. Mm-hmm. I just didn't understand the significance that it played in people's lives. And I can honestly say that I did not fully grasp it until COVID. Mm. And then it was like, wow. And I heard what people were struggling with. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the doing. It was the thinking. It was the feeling. It was what was going through their mind and how they internalized how much more of a struggle maybe than it really was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then what I really learned in that is if you don't get the mindset right, likely won't do the skill sets.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be much more difficult. So mm-hmm. I love the way you broke that down into two parts.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So one of your greatest accomplishments.
Oh man. I mean, I think it's besides publishing books myself, I think it's probably the helping publish thousands of books. I mean, we publish about 1 to 3 books a day. You know, I believe in this concept. I call it leveraged impact. It's when you create and publish a book, right? You've crystallized the best things that you know into this thing that long after you're off this earth is still going to be here. And this is that book is going to impact thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even millions of people, right? And so books change lives, right? They change the lives of readers and authors. And so I think probably one of the biggest accomplishments, and it, at least to thus far, is those thousands of books. I mean, because that represents just millions, if not tens or hundreds of millions of people whose lives have been changed. And so I think that's a big part of my legacy so far. And the, you know, our big goal, I think I mentioned this earlier, is we want to publish 100,000 books by 2035. So we feel like we've made a lot of progress so far. And we got a long way to go. I think a big part of it's leveraged impact. I don't know. That's why I see it as a big accomplishment for me and really for my team at Self Publishing School is because we create the ripple effect that then creates another ripple effect that then just continues, which I think it's pretty exciting.
It is. Absolutely. So let's talk about an obstacle or challenge that you have faced. And then how you chose to work through that.
How long you got? this is something I'm very passionate about because I think people look at the success that people have. And, you know, it's like the quote that's, you know, don't compare someone's finish line to your starting point. I think it's very easy to look at where someone is and not see where they've been to get there. Uh-huh. And I believe that, you know, life and business it's about the journey, not the destination. And if you don't enjoy the journey, then why are you doing it? Just stop. If you don't enjoy it, right? Because I think often it can be tempting, and I fall into this trap too, is you look for that next mountaintop experience because the mountaintops are really fun, uh-huh. right? It's an amazing thing. It's the Inc. 5000. It's the, oh, I got Forbes 30 under 30. Like, those are exciting moments in time, but they're fleeting. And so I think oftentimes we don't see all the struggle that it takes to get there. And so I think I'm living proof of, I mean, I've had a lot of really, really tough times. And I like to say it's like entrepreneurship and leadership in general is kind of like just having this massive spotlight on all your flaws. It's like just daily. You get to figure out what you're screwing up, how you're failing, how you can be better. And so, I mean, to get really specific, I mean, I've had times where all of my bank accounts were negative. You know, my business partner tried to kick me out of the business and I had to go multiple six figures in debt and borrow from my family or my parents' retirement to buy my business partner out. Like that was probably one of the toughest times because I felt like you know, this is my parents' retirement money. Like, I can't mess this up. And so that, I mean, there's nothing like, I mean, that raised the stakes, but there's so many times like that. But you know, I've found from going through enough of those times, those are the times where you grow the most, right? Where you look back on it and you say, man, I just grew more from that than I have in years. And so it sucks at the time, but I just try to now look at those moments and say, okay, this is happening for me, not to me. It's like when COVID hit, that was my message to the team, is I said, hey, this is happening for us, not to us. And we're going to get better because this happened, not in spite of this happened. And I think when you have that mentality, you can look for the good in what's happening. And so one of the first things we did as a company is, it's funny, the thing we hear all the time is like, oh, I don't have time and the timing isn't right to write my book. Like, that's the biggest excuse and the biggest objection that comes up on sales calls and stuff like that. And so in a time of a lot of uncertainty, we just leaned in and we said, hey, look, yes, you do. You got more time than ever. And just by looking for the kernel of good in what was happening, I mean, we saw explosive growth during COVID. Because we said, hey, you've got time to write your book. And so use that time.
I love that. And you know, what's so funny is that people thought they didn't have time, which this just goes back to prove everything we said about mindset. But they suddenly had all the time in the world. And like, I'll just use myself. I'm going to throw myself under the bus. So I traveled all the time. And I would try to get a walk in where I could. I would try to work out when I could. And I had said, if I wasn't on the road so much, I would work out every day. Well, guess what? I suddenly wasn't on the road at all.
Mm-hmm.
And my level of workout was next to zero.
Yeah.
I didn't change my behavior, not one little bit. Like, the timing was just an excuse. And so then I had to own that. And then I had to change it.
100%. Well, kudos for you for recognizing that.
Yeah. But I know. And then they just continue because I think that the desire wasn't strong enough to begin with, or you'd have found a way. That's where we go back to that whole mindset, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the quote, you know, when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of changing, that's when you'll change. Right. And so for, you know, it's like an alcoholic, they're not going to rehab until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of changing. And that's, I think, in any area of our life, that is when we actually make the change, is when we say, oh, either the pain has to be greater to stay the same, or the vision has to be bigger for what can become if we choose to do that. And then that vision of what can become, or the promise of what can become, stirs us into action. But if we don't see that, then we'll just keep doing what we were doing.
Wow, that's great. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
I mean, it means for me, at least for the foreseeable future, is helping people publish books. And it's funny when I saw this interview on my calendar, and right now I just bought my first home and my house is being renovated, and I'm kind of like bouncing around semi-homeless while they're doing all these renovations. And I'm living at least for this week, out of my boathouse. And I thought it was just so funny and poetic. I'm like, you know, working from my happy place, like, this is kind of cool that I can work from this boathouse on the lake. And I'm able to take podcast interviews and do all these things and help people with books. And so I think, a little bit poetic, and I'm feeling that because I'm not the kind of guy that's like a laptop lifestyle, like, you know, do all that stuff. I'm pretty low key, but it is kind of fun to have this experience at the time of us recording this interview.
That is awesome. All right. So now, what advice would you give to others? And I want to, you've already given the tips about writing a book, but let's talk about being an entrepreneur or starting their own business. Let's go with that one first.
Yeah, I think my advice would actually be similar, whether it's starting your book or starting your business or growing your business, is that there's never going to be a perfect time to get started. and you're going to have to get started before you're ready. And so whether you're starting your business, whether you're trying to grow your business, whether you're trying to write a book, I think the advice is the same, is break down, like, what is the very next step that I need to take that, okay, well, I mean, even before that, what's my end goal? Like, what am I aiming towards? And then what's the very next step that I need to take to get me closer to that goal? And then do that thing now, not next week, not next year, but do that thing. And I think that's success is stringing together small steps in a forward direction. And so that would be my kind of encouragement.
I love that. And then what are some new and exciting things that you're working on and how our listeners could benefit from that?
Yeah. So one new and exciting thing. So I just published a second edition. So brand new book. I mean, it's pretty much all new content. And so it's called Published, The Proven Path from Blank Page to 10,000 Copies Sold. It's a 10,000 foot view of how to go from blank page to published author, sell more copies, grow your business, all that stuff. So, it just launched a few months ago. Really, really solid. You can get the audiobook if you prefer audiobooks. You can get that on Audible. I narrate the audiobook, so that's kind of fun. And then also what I'd love to do for this audience is I'd love to give away 50 physical, print copies of the book for free. You don't have to pay anything. It's the first 50 people, if you go to this link. So the link is published book. Okay. So like I published a book, publishedbook.com/Belinda, BELINDA. So publishedbook.com/Belinda. The first 50 people that go to that link and fill out the form, I'll print it, pack it, ship it, everything for free. There is no catch. It's literally, I'm covering all the cost. If you want a free copy of the book, go to that link and would love to send you one.
That is so generous and so fantastic. So thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And so then where can our listeners find you? So on your website and then of course, how they can find you on social.
Yeah. We're at self-publishingschool.com or selfpublishing.com, either place. You'll end up in kind of our world. If you'd like to book a call with my team to see how we can help with your book, you can claim your free copy of the book, and that'll on the thank you page, you'll see a calendar link to book a call with my team. We'd be happy to chat with you, see how we might be able to help. And then I'm kind of old school. I'm just on Facebook. So we got self-publishing school. We have multiple social channels, but I'm just on Facebook.
Okay. That's fantastic. Well, Chandler, this has been a delightful interview. Thank you so much for your high energy and just really being specific with our listeners on nuggets that they can take and run with. And that's what I love. I want people to walk away from this podcast feeling like, wow, I have some information that's going to be useful for me, and you certainly provided that.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Belinda.
Yes, and to all of our listeners out there, thank you for joining us today. We know that you have choices of where to spend your time, and we're so grateful that you chose to spend it with us today. Make sure that you tell others about the podcast, follow or subscribe so you don't miss a single great episode, and we will see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.